Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. How are you guys doing? Welcome to the Seaman on Sports podcast. It is the middle of July, which means NBA free agency is over and all that, which also means that the NFL season is coming up, and I'm excited to do again what I did before and doing some division previews with Brian Emiger. Brian, how are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's good to be back, and thank you for having me back on. It's been a long offseason. For some reason, I'm ready for football more than ever. I don't know why. I mean, the basketball season just kind of just took over. You know, the whole Kevin Durant thing kind of just took over, but I'm kind of exhausted over that. Now I'm back to ready to get back into football. Training camp starts in about, you know, 2.5 weeks, so I'm excited.
Yeah, man, it does feel like it's been a really long offseason. Like,
yeah.
It kind of like after the draft, like it felt like it took a while for the draft to get there because there was
right.
The draft was going to be so unpredictable. And then after the draft happened, it just was like, all right, well, it's over. And I don't know, it's going to be a really interesting season. I really think a lot of the divisions are really up for grabs. And I know everybody is just banking on the Patriots, you know, making the Super Bowl again. But, you know, football definitely isn't as it isn't as predictable as like basketball has been the last few years. So we're going to start out with the AFC North today. Your Steelers in that division. We're not going to start off with the Steelers, though. We're going to start off with the Cincinnati Bengals, who, you know, before we kind of go into what they did this offseason and everything like that, I need to ask you, do you think it's a make-or-break year for Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton? I mean, last year they had pretty disappointing season. I think going 7-8-1. They kind of just has flatlined over the last couple of years. They haven't won a playoff game since they've been there. I mean, I understand Marvin Lewis is well respected and he's a good coach. And I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but I mean, I think sometimes you just need a change. And unless the Bengals really come out this year and show something different, I mean, look, it's hard to move on from a guy like Marvin Lewis because, you know, you could fire Marvin Lewis and then end up getting, you know, a worse coach. You know, and sometimes it's not always greener on the other side. But eventually, you know, you got to make a change if something isn't working. You know, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again.
Over and over again.
Result.
Yep.
So what's your opinion on?
Well, starting with Marvin Lewis, I mean, I feel like we've asked this question like the last, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, but this is going to be a make or break year for Marvin Lewis. I mean, to his credit, you know, the last 4 years, you know, since 2012, they went 10-6, 11-5, 10-5, 12-4, and then last year they went 69-1. So, like, his last 4 years before last year, I mean, look, they did pretty well. I mean, 12-4 for the Bengals, you know, last year, and winning the division for that franchise is not bad. So I understand both sides of the argument why you keep Marvin Lewis. I get that. I understand why you keep him because, like you said, this who are you going to get? I mean, who are you going to replace him with? I mean, I understand that you want to change, but, you know, what's better? Is there somebody better out there? Is there a younger up-and-coming guy out there that can take this franchise to new heights? Is there somebody, a coach you can go out and bring, you know, to really change some things up? I don't know. I'm not sure if somebody could do better than what he's done the last 4 years for the Bengals, take him to the playoffs. I mean, and before he got there, I mean, the Bengals were just an abysmal franchise. I mean, call it what it is. They were pretty bad before they got there. They haven't won a playoff game in a while. You know, they're 0-1, they're 0-7, or I say 0-5 under his tenure. I'm sorry, 0-7, I believe, under his tenure. But they're a lot better than what they were before he got there. So, you know, I mean, I want to say it's make or break here because it's been like that for much the last 3 or 4 years. So I guess you could say it again. But I think this year may be the make or break year because of what happened last year. It was kind of a really rough year for the Bengals last year. I mean, they just did not play well at all. Had a lot of injuries. Andy Dalton got for 2 years, two games. And You know, they didn't really have the same fire, offensive firepower that they were used to before. Andy Dalton actually had a pretty good year, though. You know, despite missing those two games, he had a pretty decent year. But again, with him, you know, is it a make or break year for him? You know, he's almost like the Kirk Cousins of the AFC. You know, can you get somebody better for him? You know, you don't really know. You know, you probably could if you want to take that risk and getting rid of him and bringing somebody else and finding out he's not good. Obviously stuff AJ Green, he's a phenomenal football player, so you know, you still kind of hold on to that. Their defense, they lost some weapons this year. And the Bengals, they lost a lot this year. I'm pretty sure we're going to get into that in a minute. But, you know, I would definitely, to answer the question, I would say it's a make or break year for both. But, I mean, what do you think they have to do? They got to win. I mean, they've been to the playoffs, you know, four of the last 5 years. So, do they got to win a playoff game?
I always think it's hard to fire a coach if you make it to the playoffs. Like, it just leaves a sour taste. Now, it happens. Now, I think a pretty good comparison, like, you know, I think Marvin Lewis has done a lot for the franchise, but he just may not be the guy that takes the Bengals over the top. Like, it doesn't mean he isn't a good coach, but sometimes, like, I look at it as, like, you know, Mark Jackson was a good coach for the Warriors, but he wasn't going to be the guy to take – they basically realized he's not the guy to take them over the top. Steve Kerr is. Mm-hmm. And they got criticized at the time. I mean, they were like, how do you fire a coach that, you know, you won 50 games with and everything like that? Well, it turns out, you know, you trade that in for a guy you can win 67 with the next year and then win a championship. And, you know, Steve Kerr just had different ideas about how to run the offense and let his guys be a little more free. And that was the key to the Warriors becoming the Warriors. Now, I'm not saying that the Bengals are, like, a different coach away from being an all-time great team, but – sometimes you just need a fresh perspective. Now, I think you have to go into that understanding that just because you have a new coach and a new perspective doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden going to be really good. And I think an underrated part of the Bengals is they've lost a lot of their coordinators to jobs. They lost Mike Zimmer.
Yep.
They lost Jay Gruden. They lost Hugh Jackson. They've had, you know, and even like some of their position coaches have moved up to coordinator positions. Like, they've had a lot of coaches in that coaching staff. You know, and I'm sure Marvin Lewis preaches, he has been running the same stuff, but I don't know. I mean, I think if you're a Bengals fan, it's hard because, you know, I think a lot of Bengals fans, you know, they want more, they expect more, but I think there's a big portion of that fan base, and a lot of, you know, like if you're a fan base of a team that has been mostly bad, I think there's a part of that fan base too that's also just like, just be happy with what you have. You know, just be happy because for 20 years, this team was god-awful. And, you know, while I understand that mentality, I don't ever think it's wrong for fans to ask for more out of their team. Like, yeah, you know what, you've made the playoffs 5 straight years. You know what, but it's not wrong for the fans to ask, we need to win a playoff game the next time.
Yeah.
So, Marvin Lewis has a lot of power in that organization. Mike Brown, their owner, is kind of cheap, and, you know, he's not a guy who's known to fire head coaches. In fact, their problem for so long was keeping coaches around too long.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would have to take, like, they'd literally, I think, have to go, like, 6-10 for him to be fired. I mean, I think everyone's kind of thought he was going to be fired the last maybe couple of years, especially after that Steelers game, 2015-16 playoffs. With a team just like exploded on the field. I mean, if he's not getting fired after that, I think he has a really long leash, and unless this season just completely implodes, and I think they'll be better this year because they had some pretty bad luck this year. I think he'll be around at least another year. But you know what? You never know. The NFL has an average of 7 new coaches every year. But he's like what? Like the second or third longest tenured head coach, maybe second. I mean, it's Bill Belichick.
I want to say he's the longest. Oh, Bill Belichick than him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think John. You know what's crazy? John Harbaugh is like the fourth longest tenured head coach.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about that, you're like, he hasn't been the coach for that long, and then you kind of sit back and realize, like, I mean, there's been a lot of guys who got fired in the last like 5 years. Like even Andy Reid got fired from Philadelphia. He was originally the guy, but it's crazy how much turnover there is. So let's go into the Bengals off season. They didn't really do much in free agency. They never really do. However, their big thing is they lost their two best offensive linemen, and Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler, and kind of just didn't really replace them. They're really betting on the fact that their two draft picks of the last couple of years, Jake Fisher, and I'm gonna get this name wrong, but it's the guy from Alabama, Cedric Obiche. They're really banking on those guys. They re-signed Dre Kirkpatrick to a deal. He's one of like many corners in the last couple of years they've selected in the first round. I like the draft though. Like their draft was very Bengals-esque, I guess. They really took the best player who was on the board, and I mean, I didn't think John Ross was the ninth best player in the draft, but as we saw, the run on wide receivers that went with Corey Davis and Mike Williams going ahead of him. I mean, John Ross, I think I can understand why people have questions about how good he'll be in the NFL, but, that dude is just, he's fast. Really fast. He's gonna at least be good in the NFL just because he's going to force defenses to put a safety over the top against him. And he's going to get a lot of good looks with A.J. Green on the other side. They really struggled last year, even when A.J. Green was healthy, because they lost Mohamed Sanu, they lost Marvin Jones. I don't really think they realized how important those two guys were in their offense. So now they have more depth at the position. You add that in with Boyd, who's a good slot receiver who they drafted last year. And then you add that in with Eifert, if he could stay healthy, that's a really dangerous offense. And then you also add in, and I know, we're not going to talk about his past here because it's been discussed enough, but they drafted Joe Mixon. And, Joe Mixon is a controversial figure. Joe Mixon's also is one hell of a football player. And as long as he stays on the field and doesn't do anything stupid and earns I think he'll be the starting running back going into the year. Jeremy Hill kind of has seemed to have lost favor there a little bit after what we thought was going to be a really impressive career. Gio Bernard got more touches. But, I mean, Joe Mixon's just – I mean, he can just flat-out ball. And he's – I think if he actually gets touches, he could be, a low-key rookie offensive of the year candidate just because of how talented he is. Their offensive line's going to struggle. Their defense is what it is. The same group they've had for a long time. Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, Michael Johnson, Vertez Burfict, Adam Pac-Man Jones, Dre Kirkpatrick. It's really a lot of the same dudes. I mean, they need their offense to be good. They really need their offense to be explosive and for guys to stay healthy, and they really can't afford anyone on the offensive line. It's hard when you lose two offensive linemen who get paid $30+ million in the free agency market. I mean, that means those guys were pretty good. And if anything, we've learned over the years, offensive line production is extremely important, even though it gets overlooked.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Bengals are probably the team I dislike. I mean, I'm not showing my bias here. The Bengals are probably the team I dislike the most, but I would say they had a pretty good draft. I like their draft. And you're right about John Ross. I mean, John Ross, when you run that kind of 40, you're not going to be overlooked. You're going to be picked. I mean, when he ran that 4.22, I told a lot of people he's going to be a top 10 pick. It's over. And he's going to be a top 10 pick after he's not going past 15. Somebody's going to pick this guy just based off his speed. And the Bengals were that team. And the Bengals, when they lost Mohamed Sanu, when he lost Mohamed Sanu to the Falcons, they needed somebody else to open up that field. They had Tyler Boyd and Brian LaFell is okay at times. He comes in and out, but now you have a guy, you have an explosive game changer. Something they've kind of been missing. And AJ Green was kind of that guy, but he's been in the league, he's been around for a while. I'm not saying he's slowing down, but he's not as explosive shot play as this guy John Ross. So I think that's gonna help him a lot. Open up the offense a lot. Like you said, it's gonna keep safety up top to create room for everybody, because we have a guy who can blow the top off, like John Ross, who I expected to run a lot of nine routes, and he's also not a bad route runner. That's gonna help a lot. And then, you know, we go through the draft, and you can see Joe Mixon. You already touched on this. No, I think I currently said that if it wasn't for, you know, what he did, what, 4 or 5 years ago now, when he was a freshman, before he even stepped on campus at Oklahoma or on the field at Oklahoma, if it wasn't for that incident, for that singular incident, he would be the first one that taken in the draft, even before Leonard Fournette, in my opinion. You know, I don't know if he's a better runner than Leonard Fournette. I mean, I think Leonard Fournette is a bruising, you know, I don't want to say generational running back, but he's like one of those every 10-year running backs.
Just to step in, I think Mixon's more versatile than Fournette. Like, yeah, I think he's better out of the backfield. I think he's better, like, laterally. And he's a big dude. He's like 230. I mean, Leonard Fournette's like 245. I mean, he's a freak of nature. And when he gets downhill, there's kind of nothing that can stop him. But the big question with Fournette is always, can he make those, like, one or first two cuts? Is he going to be able to make people miss? Because, we've seen in the NFL, there's just, like, even if you like contact, you still want to try to avoid contact a little bit. And Mixon is just, like, sneakily shifty.
He's very shifty. He's very shifty. He's very, very sneaky fast. And they had him at kick return. He had some very, very clutch kick returns this year at Oklahoma, specifically against K-State when they were down in that game. He had a big kick return in that game. So he is more versatile. He can kick out the backfield. He can use him at kick returner. As opposed to a guy like Fournette. So I think Joe Mixon was the best. I don't think he's the most talented running back. I would give that to Fournette, just slightly, in my opinion. But I think Joe Mixon, because of what the NFL does today with running back, you want your guys to be as versatile as possible. He would have been the first running back taken had it not been for that. So that's a big pickup for the Bengals. That was a steal. They got him in the second round, 16th pick. You know, that was a perfect steal. And then you just go down to the draft. You know, Jordan Willis from K-State, you know, I think he was – I thought that was a pretty good find. They found him in the third round. He's probably like a mid-second round, maybe a first-round reach, but I thought they picked him up pretty well. And then, you know, they picked up, you know, some other guys, Carl Lawson from Auburn, who I liked, you know, and then Ryan Glasgow, who I liked from Michigan. So, you know, defensively – you know, and the draft-wise, they did pretty well. The Bengals actually did have a pretty good draft, so the future looks pretty bright for them. As for the immediate future for the Bengals, like you already touched on, you know, they lost some key offensive linemen. Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Dietler to the Rams and Browns, respectively. Andy Dalton's going to be under a lot of pressure again. You know, he's not going to have a lot of time this year, even though, you know, he's never really had a lot of time. It's going to be worse this year. So it's almost going to stunt his growth again. You know, they lost Rex Burkhead, and, you know, they lost a little bit of firepower. I'd say Jeremy Hill, not the guy that thought he was going to be. Giovanni Bernard, you know, got more touches, but he's a more versatile back. So I'm kind of curious to see how they handle that little trio right there. You know, I'm kind of curious to see who is going to be the left guy left out. It looks like right now it's going to be Jeremy Hill. You know, they go out and then they, you know, defense hasn't really changed. Like I said, hasn't really changed that much. You know, it's pretty much the same. I think right now, the way I predict the Bengals, you know, they look right now a team that's pretty much going to be exactly where they were last year. I don't see them really moving the needle just based on some of the moves they made. I see a team that, you know, it's going to be pretty much around that 7-9, 8-8 area again. I'm not sure I was going to give my pick for that yet, but they seem like a team that they made some good moves, but at the same time, they lost some firepower on the offensive line. And, you know, for me, the offensive line is the core of a team. So I think the Bengals are just pretty much going to be exactly where they were this year. You know, last year, where they were last year, they're going to be this year. So I don't see them improving, but the future-wise, I think that they look pretty good. They let a lot of guys walk in free agency. Like I said, you know, they let last year Mohamed Sanu walk. They let Reggie Nelson walk last year. Andre Smith, Leon Warhol, and they didn't really replace much with those guys. I mean, they replaced John Ross. But they didn't really replace those guys who they lost. Some very, very key players. So I don't think they got worse, but I definitely don't think they got better.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think that just based off the bad luck they had last year and not having A.J. Green for half the season, I think that just naturally they'll probably win another game or two. So, you know, if you, you know, just count the tie, I think, you know, 7 or 8. You know, I actually think they'll go 9-7. I mean, another team I think other people like as much. I will get to that. But, you know, I mean, I just think their offense is going to be really, really good. And their defense, you know, they find in ways to kind of fill in holes. I really like Lawson and Willis. I think those guys are, you know, they're probably just pure edge rushers, if nothing else.
Yeah.
They're probably, they're not going to be your 70-snap-a-game guys. Neither of them are that big. But this team has had an issue rushing the passer over the last couple of years. And, you know, Dunlap is always solid. And Atkins, I mean, he's been good, but he's not the passer he used to be. They've kind of needed some guys on the edge. And, you know, this isn't a team that's going to spend much in free agency. I mean, really, there's three teams in the AFC North who really take the draft and develop approach to heart. We're not going to see, like, a lot of, like, free agency transactions from a lot of these teams. But I don't know. I just think based off pure luck, not even pure luck, but just kind of turning things around a little bit, I say they go, like, 9-7. And that's me being a little optimistic. That's me really liking their offensive chance to be a top 10 offense because I really like John Ross. And if Tyler Eifert can stay healthy, it kind of, like, getting John Ross kind of puts everybody else into, like, their role. Like, obviously, A.J. Green's number one. Boyd is more of a slot guy at the end of the day. You know, he kind of goes and he slides back into his role. And Eifert, you know, you don't have to rely on him as much. Like, I think Mixon makes a big difference, too. But, again, their key is going to be their offensive line. But I don't know. I don't think it'd be as bad as some people think. But we'll definitely know, like, this is one of those teams, like, it's hard to get a read on them. We'll know by, like, week 6 or week 7 where this team kind of stands at. But it's not a team that I worry about being, like, unprepared for the season. I don't see them going, like, 1-6 to start the year. They're just they're at least a good enough team. But I don't know. It's just you kind of can see, like, the next couple of years being, at least this year at least, you know, be kind of a treadmill of mediocrity. But we'll see. I have to ask one more question. So – you know, I mean, Andy Dalton is on, like, one of the better, you could say better contracts in the NFL, especially for how quarterbacks are getting paid. I mean, he's making $14 million a year, and basically none of it's guaranteed going forward. So the Bengals are basically on a year-to-year basis with him. I mean, he's just so interesting because, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people just say he's overrated. They shouldn't pay him. They shouldn't start him. He's not that good. Da da da. But I mean, you know, Andy Dalton's been, you know, for 5 or 6 years been, I mean, pretty damn good. I mean, you know, and I can think of a lot of teams that would like to have him. I mean, you're right. He is kind of the Kirk Cousins of the AFC. But you know what? I mean, like, you don't win, you know, 4 or 5 straight winning seasons without good quarterback play. And I think there's a part of the fan base that wants to see him out of there every year. And I think there's a part of the fan base that, you know, wants to keep him. I mean, look, they're on like a year-to-year basis with him. And I know A.J. McCarron gets a lot of love out there. But I just really don't. I mean, I know A.J. McCarron had like a good game or two, but I just think this whole like, oh, just cut Andy Dalton and let A.J. McCarron play. Like, that kind of came about, like, a year ago. Like, I just think it's nonsense, you know. Like, Dalton has been good, and I mean, here's the thing. Like, we're talking about the grass isn't always greener on the other side. You know, it's easy to just say, oh, get rid of Dalton, just let McCarron play. But, I mean, you know, Adrian McCarron could turn out to be Brock Osweiler. I mean, you just never really know. And I mean, it's hard because, I mean, I understand why Bengals fans want more, But it's also like, if Andy Dalton were cut tomorrow, I could think of 10 teams that could use him easily.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, that was to be my point. If Andy Dalton is cut tomorrow, there's about 10, 11, 12 teams that will be knocking on his door. No question about that. I mean, look, here's how I look at Andy Dalton. As much as I despise the Bengals, but he's a good quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback. You can't call him a bad quarterback after, the man's 56 and 35 overall. How many Browns quarterbacks can say they're 56 and 35? Or how many Dolphins quarterbacks can say they're 56 and 35? Who needs a quarterback right now? I know the Rams, could a Rams use him right now? I think they could. I think teams like the Texans could probably use him right now if they wanted to. You know what I mean? So if he was available right now. But he's not a bad quarterback. He's just a guy. When I look at Andy Dalton, I look at his playoff success, and which has been really, really bad. He's 0-4 in playoffs. He's one touchdown and six interceptions in the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, he just has not performed well when he's gotten on the biggest stage. And I think that is one of the glaring issues a lot of people have with him. Is when he gets during the season, you can make the argument he's probably a top 10, top 12 quarterback in the league. I mean, he's a good quarterback during the season. I mean, he's completed 62% of his passes over, six-year career. He's not horrible during the regular season. I mean, last year you could put yardage. He could probably been maybe if he had not gone down, he went down, he could probably be in some MVP talk. I mean, he had 106.2 QB rating, QBR of 75.3. He had a banner year last year. He had a great year last year. But then he gets hurt in a minute. He doesn't play in the playoffs last year. So he's had a lot of bad luck on him as well. So you feel bad for the guy. And you also feel bad for the guy because he's in the division with quarterbacks who won three Super Bowls. Big Ben winning two and then Joe Flacco winning one. So that's also harping down on him. And he's looking up. I mean, literally, he's looking up at two guys right now who's won Super Bowls, and he hasn't won a playoff game yet. You know, I think that's one of the frustrations with Bengals fans and any NFL fans, ready for this guy to take the next step and take that team to new heights. And, even AJ Green, you got to think about how he feels about, what his situation. I mean, he's a great receiver. And he's probably in a lot of guys' top five, but you got to think about how he feels about, a guy who came in with him from the same conference, in the SEC, Julio Jones. Who I've always kind of compared the two. I wonder what AJ Green thinks about, what Julio Jones is doing in the AFC and the NFC, going to the Super Bowl with his quarterback. And, you got AJ.
Sorry about that. Guy looked like Brian got dropped from the call. Put back on to Brian's point. I mean, Dalton has as impressed in the regular season, but his playoff record and it's back on. I'll just let Brian explain it.
All right, go back to
what you're saying.
Yeah, I was just gonna finish this off and saying, I don't know how much better the Bengals right now at this point can do without Andy Dalton. I understand the frustration, but I understand the grass may not be greener. I understand the grass may not be greener on the other side. And at the same time, I understand. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again. I understand both points. Like you said, you don't win in this league without a quarterback. You don't make it to the playoffs 5 years in a row without a quarterback. You just don't. The Bengals have a quarterback right now. Do they have the best quarterback? No, but you have a quarterback. I'm pretty sure the St. Louis Rams would kill for your quarterback right now. I'm pretty sure a lot of teams would kill. I'm pretty sure the Miami Dolphins would trade Andy Dalton for Ryan Tannehill. Lord knows I would. I'm pretty sure the Jacksonville Jaguars or Jaguars would want a guy like Andy Dalton now on their franchise. I think this may be a make-or-break year for him. They got him some new toys, and Joe Mixon and John Ross. So even though they lost some meat on the offensive line, you know, they got some new weapons. So I think Andy Dalton, he has to stay healthy. You know, he has to stay healthy. And, you know, he has to just limit the mistakes. You know, he's gotten better with the turnovers. He's gotten a little better with the turnovers. He's a little more careful with the football. He takes care of the football a little more than in previous years. And, you know, they just need to really just hope for it. And it always comes down to health. The NFL comes down to health. The Bengals were not the healthy. He lost A.J. Green for half the year until last year. So that was a huge stunt in his growth, you know. And, you know, the Bengals need to stay healthy, and Andy Dalton himself needs to be healthy. He hasn't been a healthy quarterback either. And I think, like I said, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I see improvement in this team. I see more than 6 wins. Like I said, I say 8-8 maybe at best. Yeah, I think Andy Dalton, I think he's a guy who just he needs to stay healthy. And what if he does, he's pretty good. So I think the Bengals should definitely be just great. We have a guy right now who could take them at least to the playoffs.
Yeah, man, it'll be interesting. They've had some bad. They're bringing back a lot of times the same roster, the same faces. I say they go 9-7, but I think that's what kind of being optimistic. I think they'll bounce back a little bit. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, and we'll see if next year Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton are still on the bet. I'd say by next year they're both still back. It's hard to move on from guys like that. All right, so the next team up is the Browns, and the Browns for like the first time in a while, even though a couple years ago they were actually 7-4 at one point in the season when the average team in the AFC North was winning and they had Brian Hoyer and all that. You know, a nice year for them. They ended up finishing 7-9. And lost the last 5 going out, but at least it, you know, brought some excitement to Browns fans.
Yeah.
Kind of been downhill since then, but for the first time in a while, I think I can legitimately say I'm extraordinarily interested to see what the Browns do this year. They have a really interesting roster, really interesting team. Their whole, like, a Moneyball approach to, you know, the analytics kind of thing is interesting, like, and the reason I think it's interesting is, you know, the Browns have tried so many things over the years, and it just hasn't worked out. So, like, I kind of applaud teams that kind of try new things, try to break ground. And again, you know, I don't know how much analytics plays into all their decisions. I'm sure it's not the only thing, like some people think. They don't just look at a spreadsheet and say, these are the guys we're going to take, you know, and stuff like that. There's other things that go into it, obviously. But it's interesting to see them take that approach because I think sometimes if you are one of the worst franchises, you got to try something new and got to try something different, especially when you're not a destination franchise, you know. And so they're really interesting. They added a lot this season. Zeitler, they paid him a bunch of little money. They re-signed one of their own guards, Joel Beat, the Packers offensive lineman. And I was impressed with their offensive line signings because, you know, this is a team that, like, if they bring in a new quarterback, well, what is it we always say? Oh, you know, they're going to get killed behind that offensive line. You know, the whole David Carr thing. I think they have a really good offensive line. I mean, Joe Thomas at like 34, 35 is still, you know, Pro Bowl level guy. He's incredible. Zeitler is probably one of the best guards in the league. And Biotino is probably a really good guard as well. And they at least have a really good offensive line, and their offensive line wasn't bad last year either. They also added Jabril Preppers, Miles Garrett, David Njoku in the first round all last year. They added a couple more picks by trading back. They have 5 picks in the first 2 rounds next year. You know, they've added a lot of guys. They've had a lot of the draft is a lottery, and the more picks you have, the better chance you have. They added 2 draft picks by taking on Brock Osweiler's contract. Like, salary dumping was not a thing we saw in the NFL pretty much ever, and they kind of have used that. So it's been interesting what they've done. I just think they have an interesting roster. I mean, they added Kenny Britt. I'm interested to see what Corey Coleman can do if he's healthy, when he's healthy this year. He's just a guy who's just really explosive. I thought he was the best receiver in last year's class. So, I don't know, their team is actually really interesting. And then also, I mean, I think personally, they give Cody Kessler a shot to start the year. I'm not a big Kessler fan, but I think out of all the guys he makes sense to start the year, give him a shot. I don't think he's that good, but maybe he could prove me wrong. And if not, and you're like 1-7 or 2-6 in the middle of the year, I just say give Deshaun Kizer a shot then, because I mean, Kizer kind of fell during the draft process, but we're not that far away from people thinking Deshaun Kizer was going to be the first pick in the draft. He has all the raw tools, and I know we like to say that sometimes, but it was like midway through last year when like almost every mock draft had Kizer going number one. So you know they have a lot of interesting things they can do. And they have a lot of young players. They have like 30-some guys on the roster who are in their 30s or less. So, I don't know. They're actually like an exciting team for once.
I mean, you hit the nail. My main point was going to say this is a young football team. That's just what it is. They're a very young football team. The average age is, 20, I want to say 25 or 26. Very, very young. Young team. Not a lot of veteran leadership. We got Joe Thomas, who's going to the Hall of Fame, no doubt about it. We have him as probably that guy that can lean on for the younger guys to kind of follow. But it's a young football team. You know, it's call what it is. This is not it's a very embryonic football team, but it's a talented. Well, usually with bad football teams, you can't say their roster is talented. Like I remember that 0-16 Lions team. That was the bad football team. They just weren't. Not only were they 0-16, they were just a bad, a bad football team. This team has some talent. They have talent to where you can actually say, huh, yeah, they went 1-15, and there were a couple games away where they could have easily been. I mean, I'm not in the more victories, but I'm just trying to make it sound good. They could have easily been at least 4-12 or 5-11. They were in some close football games. You know, obviously having Terrell Pryor, who kind of exploded out of nowhere, helped a lot. You know, and the biggest thing they did this year, they did upgrade that offensive line. You know, by making sure they kept Joe Thomas and making sure he didn't go anywhere after he was kind of wavering what he should do when it comes to his career. You know, locking up the incumbent guard. You know, Joel Benito, Tino, that's that right? Antonio, yeah, they signed him to an extension.
Something like that.
They signed him to. They signed him to an extension, you know. J.C. Treader, you know, they signed him. They signed him over the offseason. So, you know, the Cleveland Browns, you know, made some – like I said, the offensive line was good, like you said. That was my argument for them last year when people were saying, you know, this team is horrible. I said, at least they have a line. They have a pretty good line, which opened up some things for that running game for Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell, who I like a lot. You know, I think he's a hard, tough-nosed runner who I think if he can just get some more consistent quarterback play, they didn't rely on him so much last year. He could be a really good running back in this league. Who am I? I like him at Georgia, even when he got kicked off the team. You know, when with Alabama State, I like Isaiah Crowell a lot. So, in terms of the quarterback, I agree. I like Cody Kessler. I believe he went down with an injury before he even had a real chance before. He wasn't that bad. He actually looked good. He actually looked like a NFL quarterback. And I wasn't huge on Kessler when he came out of USC, I believe, last year. I wasn't that big on him. But when I like what I saw from him when he was on the field. You know, he kind of kept the ball moving. He took care of the football. So I like that they just got hurt. I believe he got a concussion, and then they kind of just sat him up the rest of the year. Right? And then they brought in Kevin Hogan and – and then they brought in, obviously, Brock Osweiler. So, look, I don't know about you. Personally, I've seen a lot of Brock Osweiler. I've seen enough. There's really not much else to see when it comes to this guy. I mean, he had a chance in Denver. You know, people want to keep up. For some reason, people kind of want to continue to, go back to that. To that year when he was, they played seven games, I believe, 5-2, had 10 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and everybody just all hailed him. And then you remember how he was kind of upset when they benched him for Peyton Manning, and You know, he's kind of said that he believed that he should have still played, and there was some talk that, you know, he didn't want to come back because of that. And then he goes to Texans, and what does he do? He pretty much picks up the joint. Like, I mean, I've seen enough of it. I've seen enough. I think there's a big enough sample size now when it comes to Brock Osweiler to know that, to me, this is my opinion, I don't think he's an NFL quarterback. Not a starter, to me. He's not a starter. He just was not great last year. I mean, when you're on Houston Texans, you have that elite defense. And you're on a team like that. And you get benched for, God, I don't know the guy's name. I forgot his name. You got to help me out with who got benched for. I forget it. Say one more time.
Tom Savage,
yeah. Well, I mean, to me, that's just pretty much what you are in the NFL. You know, I think, well, he is who he is. But who knows? I mean, you've heard reports coming out of that camp that, you know, he looks good. Hugh Jackson said he's right where he is. He's right where he needs to be. You know, he's taking up more of a leadership role. Which I think is good, but I would agree with you. I would say that I'll give Cody Kessler a shot to start, and Deshaun Kizer. You know, I was huge on him. I was, and I still was. I said I thought Deshaun Kizer was. I think we talked about this in April. We talked about the quarterback in the draft. I thought Deshaun Kizer was the best quarterback, talent wise and ready wise, in this draft. Now, could he have used another year in college to kind of, you know, work on his leadership skills, definitely, yeah, and on some maturity, absolutely. He could have used another year of college, but I mean, that whole Brian Kelly situation, that wasn't going to work. Brian Kelly wanted him gone as fast as possible. They wanted to be away from each other as fast as possible. But I thought Deshaun Kizer was the best quarterback in this draft, you know, talent wise, in my opinion. So I hope we see him. Maybe we can see how he does in the preseason. I'm intrigued to see how well he does. And then, of course, you go on the defensive side of the ball. Go ahead.
No.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm going to talk about Myles Garrett, who, you know, I love the Browns taking this guy. I was so scared they were going to take Mitch Trubisky. I was so afraid because it would just been such a Cleveland Brown move to take Mitch Trubisky just because he's a Cleveland or a Ohio native. That would have been just that would set them back a few years, in my opinion, if they would took him. But Myles Garrett, who I wasn't too high on, but was a safe number one overall pick, a dominant pass rusher in college, you know, had some issues and had some motor questions going on there. Clearly was the best pass rusher or defensive player in this draft, in my opinion, Myles Garrett. And then Jabril Peppers, who, you know, is going to probably play that John Buchanan role. He's going to be playing everywhere. He's playing safety. He's going to be playing cornerback. He's going to play outside linebacker. He'll probably have him everywhere. He'll probably have him at kick returner. He's kind of that X factor on that defense. He kind of gives that jolt the Browns have really never had before, at least on the football team. I can't really think of a player who they had like that. But Jabril Peppers could be that kind of that lightning rod. He's going to be the X factor for me. You know, and, you know, and going to guys who they currently have now, Danny Shelton, who I kind of like, who showed some, you know, showed some flashes, and Jamie Collins, who's another one of those veteran guys, you know, came from New England, who had a pretty good year, who actually re-upped and wanted to stay in Cleveland, which is a good thing. It's a good sign. It's you wonder if he would have left, you know, you kind of wonder, like, okay, something's going on if he left. But, yeah, Jamie Collins wanted to stay. So that defense – defensively, they're okay, but like I said, their biggest area or like massive upgrade was the offensive line. So look, they had that in place. They just need to build on that. They definitely need to build on that, and it was very intriguing. And I know, Jimmy, I've taken the worst franchise in sports tag off the Cleveland Browns, and I have given it to the New York Knicks. So yeah, that's my gift to the Cleveland Browns right now.
Yeah, it's a really tough year for New York. I mean, like, the Jets are going to be putrid. I mean, they're just straight up tanking like the Browns were last year. And like, let's not even lie. Like, the Browns were tanking last year. And look, I'm not against it. Like if the system rewards you for being really bad, I don't blame change the system then. You know, this is a whole other discussion, but like, I don't blame teams for being like, you know, screw it, like, you know, we might as well. So that's another thing I want to discuss with you. You know, I think the Browns have, you know, gotten a lot of criticism the past 2 years for, you know, they passed on Carson Wentz last year. They traded back. You know, they passed on what would be Mitch Trubisky this year. And then also they traded their 12th pick to the Texans, who ended up picking up Deshaun Watson. So they passed up on three guys who I think you could argue for each one of them, you know, maybe made sense for them. I'm not a really huge Mitch Trubisky fan, but, you know, I could at least entertain an argument that maybe if he really is the guy, they should have picked him, you know, because a franchise quarterback is invaluable. And, you know, I actually respect them a lot for just like, look, if they don't believe in the guy, you know, not like forcing the pick. But eventually they will have to pick a quarterback. And, you know, next year's class is always rosier in everybody's eyes. You know, it's always next year that all the great quarterbacks are coming next year, you know, like, but then we, you know, and then the draft process comes along and we break down those same guys who everybody loved, and then all of a sudden they're not as good anymore. Like, you know, and then also, you know, like, who knows? Like, Sam Darnold played like 7 games last year. Who knows if he's actually like that good? He even said he may stay. You know, it's Josh Rosen really that good? It's Josh Allen, the kid from Miami. Like, you know, we always like to kick the can down the road. I mean, the huge, like, that's next year's class that's going to be so good was the Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel class. Oh, just wait. Just wait. And, like, you know, a lot of those guys haven't worked out. I mean, it's just – and it's about luck, too. I mean, in 2015, if you needed a quarterback and you were picking third, tough luck. I mean, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota went second. I mean, it can be hard to just keep kicking the can down the road. And, I mean, it's going to be weird. I mean, because if Deshaun – you know, if Deshaun Kaiser plays the last 8 games and he shows that he's pretty good or at least has some potential – do you still pick a quarterback, you know, number one, number two overall? I also don't think the Browns are going to be, like, one of the 2 or 3 worst teams in the league. I actually think they have talent on their roster. And the one thing I think about their offensive line is that they'll be able to run the ball, like, 30 times a game. Like, I don't expect this team to pass that often. I know Hugh Jackson likes to pass a lot and use the short passing game as kind of the, you know, the running game. But – you know, with this offensive line, they're at least going to be able to stay in games by running it. And I think their defense is, I mean, they have some players. Like, Joe Hayden is still good. Jamar Taylor has been pretty good for them at corner. Jamie Collins is, like, a really good player when he's actually in tune. Their defensive line with Agba and Garrett and Danny Shelton, those are 3 first-round picks. You know, well, Agba wasn't the first-round pick, but he was, like, the first pick of the second round. Like, they have, like, some talent on the team. I don't know. Do you think it was, like, a mistake maybe passing those guys? Do you think you're going to look back and say, you know, we should have taken Carson Wentz? Because that was kind of the big thing the first three games of last season. The Eagles were 3-0. Like, oh, man, the Browns, they made a mistake again. Didn't take Carson Wentz. And I'm not exactly sold on Carson Wentz yet. I know everybody kind of just thinks he's going to be good. But I don't know. Like, what do you think of the Browns basically – I would say taking a more patient approach to the quarterback position?
Well, it's tough to really evaluate the quarterbacks within 4 years. You don't really know what you get. I mean, you kind of can tell. I mean, I wasn't a huge Carson Wentz fan coming out of when he came out. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, people were saying comparing him to Brett Favre when he came out of the draft. I mean, they were comparing him to a lot of guys, and they have Jared Goff, who, you know, who came out of Cal, and he hasn't really shown much. I mean, granted, his coach was Jeff Fisher, so you really have to give him a mulligan for that. I mean, so we're really going to see what he's going to do this year under Scott McVay. And so I think that I do like the approach. If they felt like Carson Wentz wasn't the guy to help them, wasn't that going to be that the guy to really turn their franchise around? Then you don't pick them. You know, you just don't. You know, do they have a need at quarterback? As I always say, the NFL draft's all about drafting about need. It's not about the best player available. Now, it's not about that. You know, it's all about need. Do they have a need for a quarterback? Of course. They need a need for a quarterback since, like, 2003. So they definitely need a quarterback. But if they feel like that Carson Wentz wasn't a guy, and right now, we don't really know. He looked okay, especially during those first 3 or 4 weeks of last year for Philly. But then he kind of tapered back. He's kind of brought back down to reality. He looked okay. You know, if you're the Browns, do you say, well, if you look at Carson Wentz's stats and how he did, will we have won more games? Probably with him. Yeah, probably. They probably would have won more games. But looking 2 or 3 or 4 years down the line, which is what the draft's all about in the NFL, especially for that quarterback, would they have been where they wanted to be? I don't know. I don't think so. Personally, I don't think so. You know, I like Corey Coleman. I like how they went. I like that they picked him first in the NFL draft. I like how they kind of just sat back and picked. I think, like you said, I thought was the best. You know, wide receiver in last year's draft. I liked it. You know, I like that they passed up on Mitchell Trubisky to pick the best defensive player in the draft. You know, you're building with it. You build from the inside out in the NFL. I always say, you don't build from the outside in. You build from the inside out. And I think the Browns right now, just looking at their draft last year, looking at their draft this year, they're doing just that. They're building from the inside out. They're building defensively. They're going to be a pretty good defensive team. They're going to be a pretty good defensive team with the guys they have coming back with Jamie Collins and Joe Hayden, who's still probably maybe a top 10 cornerback in this league. They're going to be a good defensive team. Offensively, they're going to be a little stagnant. But look, like you said, that offensive line is tight. The offensive line is put together, you know, and they have a pretty good running game in Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. I love the running game. And, yeah, Hugh Jackson, not a passing. He's not a running guy. You know, they run a West Coast offense. So they like the dink and dunk. They like the long handoffs with the three-yard slants. And they like the comebacks and stuff like that. And so, but I think this is going to be a very physical football team. You know, obviously it's the AFC North, so we're a pretty physical division, so they kind of have to be like that. But it's going to be a pretty physical football team. So I do like what they have done the last. I do like that they have not jumped the gun on the quarterback. I do. I mean, the last 2 years, you know, what was it? Carson Wentz, and then before that was, you know, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, I believe. You know, so they didn't have a chance. They missed out on those guys. They didn't drive in, trade up for those guys. But, I mean, if they're not your guys, they're not your guys. You know?
Once you select that guy who's your franchise quarterback, that's kind of it. Like, that is, like, the one shot you get as a GM to pick. Like, once you pick that guy, you are, like, forever, with the Jaguars. Once they pick Blake Bortles, like, that was it. Like, that's your quarterback. And as soon as you admit that he's not good anymore, it kind of makes you look like a bad GM. No matter what else you have done, like, if you mess up on taking the quarterback, you usually don't ever get another chance. Like, I mean, that's just – and so I can almost understand, like, you know, kicking the can down the road a little bit. Like, if anything, like, rebuilding, like, buys you time as a general manager. I'm not saying the Browns front office is doing this. They seem to have a pretty long leash. I mean, they were able to basically, like I said, tank last year with, like, no repercussions. So I think they have a pretty long leash. I don't really think Hugh Jackson and, you know, the guys in that front office are really worried about getting fired right now. But – like, once you pick Carson Wentz, all of a sudden the clock starts ticking on your franchise. If you're not good in, like, 2 or 3 years, everyone's going to be like, what's going on? You know? And so, like, I kind of liked it. I mean, like, you know, if you don't think it's the guy, you don't think it's the guy. Try to build a good team around. Now, look, you're eventually going to have to get that guy. You know, like, they're not going to be able to go to 3 or 4 years and starting Cody Kessler at quarterback. Eventually you have to take a shot because you're not going to win anything. But I like their approach. And the Browns are going to be fun this year. Like, I mean, they may not be good, but I wouldn't want to play the Browns.
They're going to be a physical football team this year. And look, and Cody Kessler, like, just before we move on, look, the guy at 1,300 yards, 6 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, and got a 92.3 passer rating, you know, and he ain't winning any games. I don't think he won any games. But the guy, you know, he looked like an NFL quarterback. So, like, I would say the Browns, look, take a look at him. You have 2 young guys on your team. You can take a look at it. The Browns may have their franchise quarterback on their roster right now. And I really appreciate that they have approach of not jumping the gun and going out and getting Mr. Trubisky, and then you're having to really, you know, put all your eggs in one basket with him. They have 2 quarterbacks, and Cody Kessler and Deshaun Kizer, who may be very good, you know. So, and if they're not, then, you know, you go on, you have next draft, who, you know, supposedly this next draft is supposed to be pretty deep in quarterback. I don't really believe it yet. I got to see. I got to look at it a little more. But you have two guys, and actually maybe three young guys. Who knows? Brock Osweiler maybe for some, maybe he may have a come to Jesus moment and play well. I don't know. So they have some prospects on their team already. You know, they can take a look at. So I would definitely make. I'm the Browns. I like their approach. But I would just kind of go with what they have right now. I like how they're building from the inside out, and they're going with what they have. They have a running game. You know, the Browns may be one or two moves away from actually being a serious, at least, playoff contender. You know, they have talent. You said they're going to be fun to watch this year, and they have talent and playmakers, something they haven't really had in a while.
Yeah, man, it'll be interesting. I mean, at least, like, here's the thing. Like, I mean, like, Osweiler may, like, I know he got shitted on last year for the most part, and, you know, quite frankly deserved it. I think he may just be, like, default the best quarterback on the roster, considering he's going into year six of his career, and he's competing against a second-year guy who has, like, three starts and a guy who's never played. Like, I mean, obviously, he may just by default be better, like, look better in practice just because he has that experience, but it's kind of like, you know, like, a couple years ago, like, Matt Castle may just look better in practice, but you got to give Tyrod Taylor a shot because you don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, I think like a lot of times we default, teams default to just starting guys who are just kind of eh. Like, you know, like just, like, you know, I'd rather just see, like, you know, like what the hell someone else has, you know, like I like giving guys a shot, at least, you know, at least proving, hey, maybe they can be something. So the Browns are going to be interesting. So the next team we're moving on to is the Baltimore Ravens, and, like, I've seen, like, over the last, like, couple of weeks, like, you know, there's people who are, like, saying, like, they could be one of the best teams in the AFC and all that kind of stuff, and the only reason I can think anybody says that is just because the Ravens have a reputation for being really good, but the last 2 years, they've just been average for the most part, and I don't really see, like, what they did this offseason that really inspires anyone to say, oh, man, this team is one of the best, you know, three teams in the AFC. I mean, like, they signed Jeremy Maclin, you know, who got cut by the Chiefs. I mean, Maclin's been injured the last couple of years. When he's on the field, he's good, but he's not the player he used to be. You know, it's still an upgrade over what they had. Obviously, they lost Steve Smith, who, you know, was their best receiver at age, you know, 37, 38, which speaks volumes. They lost a really good offensive lineman in Ricky Wagner. And they lost Tim Jernigan, lost Brandon Guy, so two starters on their defensive line. I mean, they're really relying on a bunch of young guys on their defense. Oh, yeah, and, you know, one of their better players, Zach Orr, retired.
Yeah.
He you know, he was really good this year. You can't really prepare for that. I don't blame them for that kind of catching them off guard. So, no, like, I mean, they've kind of just, I mean, what, you know, one of the reasons that they haven't been as good lately is he gets a lot of praise, and he should have been a really good GM for a really long time. But look at, like, from 2013 to 2016, his drafts have, like, been that good. And that's, I mean, it's not because Joe Flacco is going to pay a lot of money. It's because, you know, their first, you know, three picks. Sorry about that, guys. Having some technical difficulties. Hopefully, Brian will be back in a second. But, yeah, with the Ravens, I mean, they just haven't drafted well the last couple of years. And so they, you know, I mean, a lot of that can be blamed on that. And, I mean, it's just they're going to be relying on a bunch of young guys on their defense to really step up. You know, and then same thing on their offensive line, too. Alex Lewis, John Urschel, Ronnie Staley, who, I mean, I liked last year. In the draft, but I mean, you know, they're relying on a lot of guys. James Hurst, who, like, was one of the worst offensive linemen in the league last year. I just really don't see why people think that this team all of a sudden is going to be you know, one of the better teams. I mean, I see them kind of what they are. I think they're quite frankly a little worse than the Bengals. I think that, you know, Joe Flacco is, you know, he's kind of settled into where he is as a quarterback in the NFL. I mean, he gets paid a lot of money, and look, he gets paid a lot of money because he plays at a premium position. You know, is he worth, you know, what he makes, quote unquote? No, probably not. But again, you know, you're worth what someone's willing to pay you, and you're, you know, I mean, like, again, the same thing with Andy Dalton. You know, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that would want Joe Flacco, that could use him. And so it's just interesting. I mean, the Ravens are just in a position where they are kind of just, you know, an average team at best. And I've seen, like, over the last couple of days, some people saying, oh, this could be one of the better teams in the NFL. And I really don't get where it's coming from, to be honest. I just don't see it. Like, they have a good coach, John Harbaugh. I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. I don't know. I really don't see where it is that the Ravens become one of the better teams. Look, I mean, look, they have a really good safety duo, Tony Jefferson and Eric Weddle. Weddle still continues to be one of the best safeties in the NFL. Tony Jefferson is a versatile guy. I mean, you got to feel good for him. Guy who came out early, went undrafted out of Oklahoma, and then now has made a really good career for himself. You know, signed a $36 million contract. Always a feel-good story. But again, it's just, I don't know. They're still probably the best defensive players. Probably still Terrell Suggs, who's like 35, 36 years old at this point. I mean, he's limited in what he can do. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, they just haven't they haven't drafted well the last couple of years, and I mean that really explains where they are right now. Sorry, guys. Just trying to get Brian back on here. Again, just had some technical difficulties. Both of our connections dropped at the exact same time. That was no fun. I know this is just terrific radio right now. I'm going to try my best to edit this out. I'm sorry if I'm not really talking to you guys right now. It's just, I really do. I'll be Brian back on so we can finish this.